Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wilmslow Methodist Church this morning, and welcome to anyone who's visiting us or anyone who's come today for the first time. We have coffee, which will be served in the lounge after the service, so everyone is welcome to stay for that. Welcome also to anyone listening to service later by recording, especially our friends at Carr's Court. There is no Sunday kids today, but we have put a few activity packs out in the coffee lounge if children don't want to stay in the whole time. If I could draw your attention to the Talking Jesus course, which is on your notice sheet. Proposed dates from the 4th of June to the 9th of July. Chris got asked if anyone is interested in doing that course, could they please get in touch with her, even if they can't come on a Tuesday, because they may be able to arrange to have it on another day and time. So if you're interested, please let Chris know anyway. I think that's it. So it gives me great pleasure to hand over to Philip Peacock, who's from Cheadlehune Church, after the introit from the choir.
Good morning to you. Excuse me. Good morning. We continue our worship as we sing together 152 from Singing the Faith. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're in the Easter season, and in that second verse of that hymn, we will rejoice that he rose again. And very soon in our church calendar, we'll be at Pentecost. And then that third verse, we think about the Spirit coming. But we join together in singing, "This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made."
Rejoice!
We continue in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, as we gather in this, our place of prayer and worship, we remember that today there are others gathered in their special places all over the world, in ones and twos, in tens and twenties, or hundreds and thousands. May all our prayers and our praise overspill into streets and cities, fields and lanes, so that a continual chorus of thanksgiving will echo in every corner of the earth, such that we may rejoice that Christ is risen, and that we may rejoice that the Spirit is with us this day and always. Amen. I'm going to move on to one of the lectionary readings for today, and I'll use that picture in a moment, but we're going to hear a story this morning about somebody called Lydia, and we're going to hear about Paul as well. Paul, the follower of Jesus. And what I've done, do you want to come and help me, you at the back? Do you want to come and help? You don't have to come if you don't want to. I don't force anybody to do anything. It's not my style. But what we're going to do, I'm going to set up like four different places with these cards that I've got. So what I've got over here is Troas, which is a place in Turkey. Okay, so that's Troas. I'll just stick that up there. And then I've got this baptismal font moved out to the front today because I want that to represent a river. And rivers are what people who are adults were baptised in years ago. And then we're going to have two other places. We're going to have Philippi, which is in Europe. And there's a letter written in the Bible to the church at Philippi, and that relates partly to what we're doing today. So we'll just call them, we'll put that on here. That can be Philippi. And this is Lydia's house, which is part of the story. We'll put that right at the front here, I think. Now, in the story, I'll just point you to what's on the screen. Can you see on that screen, you've got a river in the background? Can you see the river in the background? And you've got some people with pots on their heads. And you can see a woman in the centre.
Yep.
What colour clothing she got on?
Purple.
Now, Lydia, she was a seller of purple. She sold purple goods. So that's Lydia in the middle. That's Lydia's house. That's why we've got purple with Lydia. And then on the right-hand side, that's St. Paul, who was one of the early followers of Jesus, yeah? And he's part of the story. And on the other side, on the left-hand side, there are two other friends of Paul called Timothy and Silas who are part of the story as well. Okay. Now, what I want you to do, if you would, if you don't mind, is while I read this story, I'd like you to go to the different places which you mentioned when I mentioned them. Right? So we've got Troas over there, which is in Turkey. We've got Philippi here. We've got the river here. And we've got Lydia's house here. Okay? So you're going to listen out and go to the different places as I go through. So this is the story. Paul wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. He wanted the whole world to know that God had raised Jesus from the dead. One night, when he was staying in Troas in Turkey, Paul had a dream of a man from Macedonia in Europe. Paul hadn't been to Europe, but he knew that the dream came from the Holy Spirit. The Macedonian man said, "Come over to my country and help." Taking his friends Silas and Timothy with him, Paul set sail for Europe. When they arrived, they went to the city of Philippi in Macedonia, which was part of the Roman Empire. On the Sabbath, Paul sat down outside the city gate down by the river where people gathered for prayer and began to speak about Jesus to a group of women there. One of the women, called Lydia, was a local businesswoman who sold purple cloth. She listened to Paul and God opened her heart to hear his message. She was so excited that she asked to be baptized. Not just her either, her family and everyone in her household were baptized too. Lydia invited Paul and his friends to stay at her house. She was the first known follower of Jesus in the whole of Europe. So that's our story. We hear of how Paul and his two friends went from Turkey, which is in the Middle East in Asia, and they came to Europe, to Philippi, which was the first time the message had been taken to Europe. And we hear how Lydia, a woman, was an important person to start the church in Philippi, and how she and her whole household, all of the people there, were baptized as followers of Jesus. And it's interesting at the end of that story how Lydia invites them into her home, because there were often a lot of ways in which the Jewish people and the non-Jews were separated, and one of the things about that was to do with their food laws. But by Paul and his friends Silas and Timothy going and sharing in her home, it meant that they were accepting her fully into the Christian family. Okay, thanks so much for your help. Got a few steps in. Perhaps everybody else might have joined in as well, but anyway. We're going to sing another song. This is Give Thanks to the Lord, Our God and King, which is 77 in Singing the Faith. And I went on a superintendent's course recently, and during that, the person who was leading some of the prayers did some actions to this particular song. So if you want to do some actions, I'll try and give you the actions which I remember from that day. But what I better do is just go through a little bit at a time, and perhaps just introduce you to it. So, forever to be signed is like that. You sort of roll out your hand forwards, okay? And that comes up quite a lot in the song. So that's the one, the main one that you need to know. But we've got His love. When we get to Jesus' love, we do His love endures forever. He is good above all things. His love endures forever. And then praise is this. You might have used that in other songs. Sing praise. That's going up towards heaven. Sing praise. And then if we can have the next slide. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. And then in the chorus type, forever, you do that again the same way. Forever, God is faithful. Now, faithful, they did like this. So you make a circle with both your hands, and then you bring those two together. So forever, God is faithful. And then forever, God is strong. That makes sense, doesn't it? Strong. Forever, God is with us. And then they sort of did us like a circle, sort of saying how we're all together and God is with us. Forever. And that's more or less all of it. I'll try and do it as we go along anyway. But if you want to join in, do. If you don't want to join in, that doesn't matter. But please feel free to join in with the actions if you want. Okay.
Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever.
Just say a short prayer in case the children do wish to go out and have some activity in the other room. Let's pray. Forever you are with us, God, whether we stay in this part of the church building or if we go into the lounge. And we pray that in all we do, in either of those places, we may learn something more about you and your love, which, as we have sung, endures forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verses 7 to 10. The sons of Helah, Zereth, Izhar and Ethnan. Koz became the father of Anub, Jobibah, and the families of Aharhel, son of Harum. Jabez was honoured more than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from hurt and harm." And God granted what he asked. Amen.
Just for your information, I've divided up what I'm going to say into two parts this morning. The first part's longer than the second part, but at least you know where I'm going if I let you know that at the beginning here. But I've just started with a very obscure biblical passage. Partly because I want to lead into thinking about prayer. And when we talk about prayer, we talk about prayers in all sorts of different ways. We talk about prayers of approach, we talk about prayers of adoration, we talk about prayers of confession, of thanksgiving, of intercession. But what we don't often talk quite so much about, I don't think, are prayers of petition. We sometimes find them in our worship alongside our prayers of intercession because they are asking prayers. But whereas with prayers of intercession we're asking things for other people, when we have prayers of petition, sometimes talked of as prayers of supplication, at those times we're asking for ourselves rather than asking for other people. Anyway, did anybody know that prayer of Jabez that we heard read earlier? Just? No? Maybe that's because it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Don't know, but it might be. But there's an example there of a prayer of petition. Oh, it's already been put up for me. Thank you. Just read that to you again. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from hurt and harm." And God granted what he asked. This prayer was the prayer behind a book that was written there nearly two decades ago now, called The Prayer of Jabez. And it was a book that sold quite widely, especially in the States, but there was a lot of controversy about it, related to the way in which this prayer might be seen to promote the idea of what's called the prosperity gospel. That gospel which says that, you know, if you are a Christian, you will benefit financially from that, and you will be blessed in a monetary sense. And at the same time, there were other people who just saw it as a book which was celebrating petition as a type of prayer. Well, we can see, can't we, in this prayer that Jabez prays that his territory might be enlarged, that he would have prosperous success. And he also prays that God would be with him, keeping him from hurt and from harm. Now, that particular part of prayer, that second part of the prayer, relates to the name that he had been given by his mother. He'd caused his mother great pain in childbirth. And Jabez is a word that in the Hebrew sounds like the word pain. So it seems that what he's asking here, Jabez is asking, is that the name that he'd been given, perhaps we might call him Painy or something, might not speak of his future fate. He didn't want pain to define who he was going to be because his mother suffered in childbirth. But if you look at that prayer as a whole, you'll recognise that it seems very much to be a prayer for himself and for his benefit, and everything is a bit selfish about it. And sometimes we might feel that way about some kinds of petition. But that particular translation that we heard read from the Revised Standard Version is a little bit different from what we hear in the New King James Version, which I'll put up on the screen now. Whoops, I've gone too far there. In the King James Version, we've got this translation. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, similar to before, but then, and that you would keep me from evil, that, and I put that in the italics and the white, that I may not cause pain, that I may not cause pain. So in that sense, this prayer becomes a little bit less self-centered. He's asking that the name that he has been given, which perhaps had caused him suffering in the past, would not affect him in such a negative way that he would pass that pain on to other people, that they might suffer. So he's in a sense asking for God's blessing on himself so that he can then pass on that blessing to other people. And rather than be a pain to others, that he would be a joy to others. Now in that sense, I suppose you might mirror something of his experience with that of Abraham. Because if you think about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, God promises Abraham that he will become a great nation, and he blesses Abraham. But he also says that Abraham's going to be a blessing to others, that all the people of the earth will be blessed through him. So blessing comes to Abraham and blessing flows out from him. Blessing comes to Jabez, and he's then able to pass on something of that blessing to others. In that sense, we could talk about how Jabez is becoming less self-reliant in what he's asking and more God-reliant. He's not trying to cope with the situation that faces him, simply drawing on the natural resources that he's got. But rather, he's asking God for capabilities, if you like, resources that he doesn't currently have, so that he can then provide for others, that he might be kept from harm, so that he won't cause pain to other people. And in a sense, by offering that prayer of petition, we can see perhaps him growing in his faith. Growing in his faith in the sense that he's asking God to help him to deal with the situation that faces him in a better way. Perhaps he's struggled for a long time with the harm that's come to him through the name that he's been given, through the pain that his mother was caused. And he wants a better way forward, and so he asks God to help him find that way, so that he's blessed, so that others are blessed through him. Jesus told us that the second greatest commandment was that we should love our neighbours as ourselves. And as you can see in that text that I've quoted, again I'm stressing here the "as ourselves" by putting it in italics and putting it in different colour. If we think about petition, it might be a way which we can grow ourselves by calling upon God to give us further resources to deal with what we're dealing with. But petition is also essential so that we can have a wise and healthy way of loving ourselves. Bryant McLaren is an American writer and theologian, and he tells this story about how he discovered that he needed to love himself better. He wrote this, he said, "Many years ago I had a spiritual epiphany one morning that showed me how far away I was from proper love of myself. I was jogging, something I do not for the love of exercise, but to avoid putting on weight. Whenever I jog, my muscles and lungs nag me constantly. they say, okay, that's enough of this. You've proven your point. Let's just walk now. In fact, let's just go over to Dunkin' Donuts and buy a couple of chocolate-filled donuts to reward us for our good behaviour. Not very helpful self-talk. He goes on to say, the best way to distract myself from the chattering voices of my muscles and lungs is to listen to recorded lectures and sermons on my Walkman. That dates it a little bit. Who remembers Walkmans? I've got one somewhere at home, I'm sure. But he used to listen to them as he was running along. You could get podcasts or similar these days, couldn't you? He says, anyway, I was running and listening to a lecture, and the speaker quoted Abraham Lincoln, who said these words. I desire to so conduct the affairs of this administration that if in the end I have lost every friend on earth, I shall have one friend left, and that friend shall be down inside me. As I heard those words, he writes, it was as if the Spirit took them and pierced me to the core with them. Out of that deepest part of me, I felt a sob erupt. I had to stop running for a few minutes and find myself hunched over in the middle of the trail, feeling that in some mysterious way, God was speaking to me, and it was a matter of life and death that I listened. I realised that deep down inside of me, I had an enemy, not a friend. If my friend made a mistake, I would tell him it was okay, that nobody's perfect. But when I made a mistake, I would constantly beat myself up and mercilessly take myself to task. If I had a friend who was working too hard, I would tell him to relax, to take a day off, to go fishing or play a round of golf. But down inside of me was a cruel taskmaster who was never satisfied. If a friend had some weakness, I would be gracious and compassionate. But not so with myself. And so that day I felt the Spirit using a quote from Abraham Lincoln, taken completely out of context, to tell me that if I was going to last, I needed to follow Jesus' words about loving others as myself, which required me first to be a friend to myself. Through petition, it seems to me, we can ask God to help us to love ourselves. Those selves who make mistakes, who work too hard, who are troubled or needy or weak. We can ask God to help to give us that friend inside ourselves who doesn't criticise us or condemn us or give us a hard time, but rather he is one who treats us generously and understands, such that we are able to grow and to become more whole. Alongside Jabez's obscure position, we might put Jesus' prayer of petition in the Garden of Gethsemane, something that's much more well known, where Jesus prays, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. In other words, Jesus is saying, I don't want to drink from this cup of poison. I don't want to be unfairly tried and be used as a pawn in some political religious game. I don't want my 33 years of life to end like this, with whips and bruises, laboured pain and dripping blood. But, if by doing so, my God and Father, you can release new possibilities for good into the world, then I will drink the cup and grow to meet this challenge. We could ask whether Jesus was right in praying the first part of this petition. Would it have been better if he simply had surrendered to God's will? Given what I've already said, I think that the first part of this petition demonstrates Jesus showing a proper love for himself, After all, who would want to face such suffering and pain? But then that second part shows a proper love for God. Jesus is ready to embrace his vulnerability and reach out that God might give him help so that he can drink from this cup of suffering. And God gives him that strength that he needs. God blesses him with the resources, the capabilities he's lacking or not assured of, so that he can then bless the whole of humankind, the whole of the world, through his death and resurrection. I pause there as we sing together 523 from Singing the Faith. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Our second reading is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learnt and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
I want to think in this second part of what I'm going to say a little bit about more specifically what we might ask through petition, how we might seek God's help, that we ourselves might grow, might become more whole. And first of all, I want to think about anxieties. Anxieties. What might happen? In situations where we're anxious, we might respond perhaps in one of three ways. We could either fight, or we could flee, or we could freeze. In that fight mode, we adopt a position of believing that what we have to do is to overcome all the things or all the people who are trying to threaten or oppose us. In the flee mode, we might think, well, this is stressful, I need to get out of here. Or in that freeze mode, we might think, well, somebody's after me, I better keep my head down and stay out of sight. But in any of those scenarios, in a sense, anxiety is a destructive force. And as you read the Gospels, you see that both Paul and Jesus saw that it was destructive. And Paul, in the second reading that we've heard, says these words: "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul, in that passage, is in a sense seeking to tell us that we can transform that anxiety if we ask God through petition or supplication, if we get God to know what we need or what we feel we need, so that we don't have to respond to fighting, to anxiety by fighting or fleeing or freezing. We can simply ask for God's help through petition and try and see that situation, if you like, from a different perspective, and ask God for the resources we need to respond differently. So, for instance, if we're thinking that we're wanting to fight the situation, we might ask God for compassion to try and understand our antagonists. We might perhaps ask for mercy that we might forgive them, or wisdom to communicate with them better, or determination to seek reconciliation with them. Or in the flee mode, we might request patience to endure that situation, or insight into why we're acting so reactively. Or we might ask for creativity to transform that response that we make into something more productive. Or in freeze mode, we might ask for courage to stand tall, humility to accept being misunderstood, and the resilience that we might need to get up after we've been knocked down. Let your petitions be known to God, that he might take your requests and grant you those resources that you need to grow and to handle the situation better. We might also think about hurts and how they might need transforming. Because sometimes we're wounded, we're hurt by others when wrong has been done to us, and we need to work through those things. Father Richard Rohr, which I think Katie is a fan of, is an American Franciscan friar. And one of the things that he says is that pain that isn't processed is passed on. I suppose this comes back to thinking a little bit about Jabez's experience, but pain that isn't processed is passed on. Pain that isn't transformed is transmitted. So what he's trying to say, I think, is that we need to process our woundedness with God, that we begin naming the pain that we've found and holding that pain in God's presence. So we might think of being lied to, or being taken advantage of, or being cheated, or being ripped off, or being excluded, or being made to feel small. Obviously, the list could go on, but we think about the ways that we have been wounded or hurt by the actions of others. And we need time to let those feelings associated with what's happened to us emerge, to resurface, to let that pain come to the fore again. Because then we can seek to ask God to help translate that pain into requests to God for ourselves. So we might ask, well, for vindication, for appreciation, for acknowledgement, for comfort, for reassurance perhaps, or encouragement. Again, the list could go on, but we seek to ask God for the things we need to deal with the pain. And we're not naming amongst those things what we need from the person who wronged us. Rather, we're turning to God and focusing on what God can help us do with that situation. Opening our bodies and minds and spirits to receive healing from God's ever-present Spirit. And then alongside hurts, we might also think about disappointments. Things that haven't happened that we hoped were going to happen. Again, a need perhaps to begin naming those things to God, to acknowledging before God that there are things which we have been disappointed about, and how we reconnect with those particular feelings. We could think, well, about not getting the job that was hoped for and left feeling deflated, or being told that infertility treatment was unsuccessful and feeling drained and empty, or having a relationship breakdown, leaving us heartbroken, or finding that the treatment did not kill the tumour or even shrink it, and being left in a pit of despair. We're disappointed with the things or some things which have happened to us. But again, it's important that we don't leave it there, but we shape our petitions to God, who can offer us comfort and strength and help. And so we might utter prayers, help me not to give up, but to persevere. Help me to reassess the situation and find the support I need. Help me to soothe my pain. Help me to accept this shattering blow, but not to be crushed by it. Having reminded ourselves of our disappointments and the hurts that they've caused, again we seek God's help through petition, that we might be helped to move on. And so through this practice of petition, what I've been saying this morning really is that we can grow through that as God helps us to grow in our Christian discipleship. And that happens not in spite of our anxieties and hurts and disappointments, but it's because of those things that the growth comes. And perhaps that's something of what Paul seeks to teach us, where elsewhere he writes that the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Through the struggles, through our crying out to God for help, his grace is sufficient for us, and his power and transforming love is made perfect in our weakness. Thought it appropriate that we spend just a short time in reflection as we let those things sink in. If you'd like to close your eyes, perhaps you would like to just still yourself before God and just think about whether there are things that you're anxious about. Or whether there are hurts which are particularly felt today. Or whether there are disappointments that you haven't really processed with God. But think about an anxiety or a hurt or a disappointment. And think about how that makes you feel. And then think about what you need to ask God for, which might transform that situation in some way. And then finally, pray that prayer of petition, asking God for what you need. We continue as we sing from Singing the Faith number 524. Listening God, you hear us when we cannot speak. Continue to respond to God in prayer. First of all, a prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer, for being able to bring to you our concerns and struggles, and for the way you listen and respond to our needs. Thank you for those who by their example have been a light on our journey with you. Those whose guidance has inspired us. Whose enthusiasm has infected us. Who live each day in the knowledge that it matters. And in a moment's silence, I invite you to give to God any special reasons for thanks for you today. And then we think of others and ourselves in our prayers. After the words in your love and mercy, can you please respond, hear our prayer. After I say in your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, giver of every good gift, we pray that we may be your grateful people. We pray for those with power and influence, that they may be grateful for the opportunities their positions give them, and that they may show their gratitude by fulfilling their responsibilities conscientiously and with wisdom, justice and compassion. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those with money and possessions, that they may be grateful for the security that their money gives them, and that they may show their gratitude by using what they have to enrich the lives of those who have not. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who know your saving love, ourselves amongst them, that we all may be grateful for the joy and peace that faith in you gives us, and that we will show our gratitude by sharing our faith and living in love with others. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for ourselves, each with special gifts from you, that we may be grateful for the unique calling that we as individuals have received, and that we may show our gratitude by using our talents in the service of others and to give glory to you. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. And then in a moment's quiet again, I invite you to bring to God the needs of any who have asked you for their prayers, or people's needs that you know of which you would want to present to God today, asking for his love and comfort to surround those people. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. We bring these prayers together as we join in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his first followers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now take up our offering. Generous God, we have received so much from your love and grace, and we would want to respond to that love and grace by offering these our gifts and our lives, that we may seek to continue your work through the life of your church here and within our community. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A hymn to go out with: Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go, my daily labour to pursue. 550 from Singing the Faith.
Oh,
conclude our service as we share together the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.